Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. Here we are, the night of the Mayan shift. It's supposed to be about 3 this morning, at least in West Coast time, that we're dealing with a tremendous shift, not the end of the world, oh, for heaven's sake. But wouldn't it be great if it was a shift into being the love we are? I don't know how many of you are really praying for that these days, but there sure are a lot of reasons for it, aren't there? So tonight, we're going to talk to spirits again. We've been doing this regularly on the show, and it's really delightful, isn't it? We're going to talk to spirits, and we're going to talk about, I guess we're just going to answer some of your questions. And one of the questions that was asked was about, what is the deal with these mass killings, and what kind of spirit, I suppose you could call it dedication. What are the spirits of those children doing in such a situation? What is the purpose? What's going on? So we're going to do that, too. But first of all, let's start with our, the other thing we always want to do is have a coherent community. A coherence is what we keep learning about, whether it's doing the oneness blessings or it's doing any kind of collective focus, intention, bringing in energy and light, meditation, is really a wonderful way to shift your brain, to release some of the more primitive recordings in the brain, because we've certainly been around for a number of hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of years, right? And in that process, I was at a wonderful oneness blessing thing with Stuart Mooney, who's going to be a guest on our show in a couple of weeks on Paradigm Shifters. But he's been a very active monk kind of guy, seeking throughout India for most of his years as a psychologist in the late 60s, 70s, and so on. And he has some amazing stories about having his brain tested and testing the brain of other people that he's been working with and watching, seeing how the brain is scanned differently and how its vibrational impulses are entirely different when we've been meditating for a while. Even with one guy that he talked about was in a catatonic state, and with Maharishi Mahesh Yogi's advice, he went to work with this guy under very strict testing. I think I talked about this maybe last week. And in the testing, this fellow who was, he said he stood like a lamp. He was so catatonic. It was a post-Vietnam vet kind of guy. And Stuart went around him with his incense and his chanting and his mantra and all of these different very esoteric meditational tools, and the fellow came out of his state of catatonia. It was really amazing. There were people around because they knew he could come out and be violent, but he wasn't. He began to awaken, and he began to know that he knew where his life was and how to get from A to B and so on, all kinds of things he couldn't do for a few years in a state of extreme stress. And when they scanned their brains, they found that a lot of the people who are, well, let's put it this way, if they're saints or they're spiritually very strong meditators and so on, their brain scans are very, very similar one to the other, you know. And they drop off all the etchings in the brain of these reactive programmings of fear and fight or flight and survival and all that kind of stuff that we've accrued over millions and millions of years as a being. We all have it way down deep inside. And I was at this workshop, as I said, and Stuart was talking about how interesting it is that so many people have a deep sadness and a deep fear. And you could say the fear is whether I'll have enough money or whether people will love me or whether I'll be abandoned. And he said, you know, it's remnants or programs that have come from periods of time in humanity where every moment was about kill or be killed. Every moment. And he talked about how the frontal lobe in the Neanderthal people are the very ancient beings, where the front part of the skull was kind of way back. It didn't have a huge frontal lobe. And that's because most of the brain was dedicated to fight or flight, or how do we do survival, kill or be killed. But he kept talking about how, and this interests me because I love the brain chemistry and amino acids and all the stuff that we've been learning on paradigm shifters and other sources about how to perk up your brain so you can get rid of some of the things that have been keeping you awake or keeping your ADD strong and vital or whatever. And I was talking about how in the Western world, we're very, very strong about our individualism and so on. And the frontal lobe is very, very strong in our species as well. And it's all about going forward and how do you go forward. And when you're in the spiritual focus, in the spiritual path, the frontal lobe gets very strong and it's filled with light. It's filled with God, if you will. But he said also in the Western world, our parietal lobes, which are all about the individuation process, apparently, the I, he called it the I sense, is very, very strong as well. And he said that when they did some scans of Western nuns who are very, very spiritual, they saw this incredibly powerful God light in the frontal lobes, but also the parietal lobes are really strong in the I sense. But he said when they did scans on the brains of the Tibetan monks or the Tibetan nuns, for example, they didn't have the I sense. Their parietal lobes were not very powerful at all. It was all about the God sense. It was really interesting. So culturally speaking, we have a whole bunch of very interesting evidence of how our brain, which is like our computer, it is a computer in a way. I mean, your whole body is, if you will, and your soul drive and your dharma and good gosh, the whole thing. But the fact that they can look at the brain and people like Lee Gerdes, who does brain state technologies, really worked his re-entrainment kind of biofeedback electronic system, which has helped people absolutely change their brains by modeling where the optimal brain, the frequencies and so on, are like those of great spiritual leaders. I can't remember who he is, monks, I think, Tibetan monks. So they've kind of matched them up. And this whole prelude is all about the fact that I'm so fascinated by the oneness blessing, the Diksha movement, which literally does change your brain. But also the fact that when the brain radiates a certain amount of change and a certain amount of clarity, then you have the radiance by design, goal and dream coming off your brain. And when you're with other people, they pick it up too. And the brains can entrain. It can go the negative way as well, but this is the positive side. And your brains can entrain, and we can raise each other's fields and frequencies. So why I like to do a collective meditation at the beginning of each show is because it really makes us a community, that we're all one and we're all in training into a vibrational field that we share. And, you know, it's really a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful idea, and especially when you're thinking about the shift. To me, the shift means that the downloads, the universal downloads that the Mayans measured, which we don't, our society hasn't done that so much, are making it possible for us to incorporate or bring into our fields and into our potential a much higher frequency. We can choose to bring through higher frequency energy. Bhagavan always talks about how we're moving into a golden era, golden energy era, a golden light era. And I've heard this from other different sources. I see it in all kinds of different books and so on, with different teachers and different I guess, historical lore that these people bring into their spiritual practice and so on. And, of course, I see, you know, when I see things, I see different colors, and I always love when the gold lights come through because they're the ones that are very high frequency, but they always warm my heart and make me feel really possible and so on. And that seems to be what's happening with this shift, is that we're beginning to bring more and more of these high frequency universal energies through. And back to the point of my whole dialogue here, or monologue, if you will, is that you and I can choose to absorb, to call in and absorb and radiate these by choice. It's always your choice to evolve, isn't it? And tonight's the night. So let's have our conjoint meditation all together. And let's remember that tonight's the night of the supposed shift. And as this shift moves through, we're opening ourselves to really receive more and more of these high-frequency energies, and we're going to do it all together. And after we do the meditation, I hope that you'll call in, and if they show up for you, let's see if we can talk to some spirits that are making a difference in your life, because one of the things that spirits do is they seek, just like when you, when someone passes and you say, I wish I had said this or that, I wish I had gotten over this or that feeling, I wish we had finished this or that, that quite often when a spirit comes, they can unhook that very thing with you. You and the being on the other side can share time just as if you were here, not quite as physical. But you can really undo and unravel some of the mysteries that have left behind, that have been left behind, that can hang up your lineage and help you pass on resistances, fears, reactions, whatever. So let's talk to spirits when you're done, when I'm done with this meditation all together. Are y'all ready? So I just want to say again, happy shift. Let's choose some wonderful golden light tonight. Good. Now let's close our eyes, and above your head, about 2 miles, see a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And then drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball. There you are on a spit, right? And now from the upper golden ball, drop a four-sided pyramid. From the lower golden ball, expand up an upside-down pyramid. Now the two pyramids meet. They connect all around the base. And that creates an octahedron, an eight-sided structure. Now inside of that, you create a crystal ball. The outside edges of your crystal ball meet the inside edges of your octahedron, your double pyramid. Good. And inside of that, there you are, inside a star tetrahedron, a three-dimensional Star of David. Or the Merkaba, however you want to say it. And now whilst you're in that, I want to see you spinning and spinning. Usually you can feel it. Spin and spin and spin and spin. Good work. And as you're spinning, in front of you, you see this magical screen. And on the screen, we're going to create a few movies. You ready for that? And the first movie is all about you. What are you on the planet for? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to become? I always want to be consciously, multidimensional and coming from a heart. They say your heart's like 10,000 times smarter than your brain. My goodness. Most of us have our hearts rather carefully tended, don't we? Fairly shut down. So I want to see myself multidimensional, consciously multidimensional by choice, by option. Yeah. And coming from the heart. And as I spin and spin and spin, I can feel myself spinning, can you? And when I can see myself accomplishing what it is I want to become, and you don't have to want to become what I say. You can do whatever you want, right? Because we're still in the Western individualistic mind, right? So we're working a collective mind here with this meditation, aren't we? Now, when you think that you're in the right kind of vision of yourself, wrap that in light, move it over to the left, and let's do a movie of the second scene. And that's, what kind of project do you want to create? It can be a book. It can be a household. It can be evolution. It can be a movie. It can be anything you want. So see yourself creating it. And see all the resources coming to put that together. Good. Now all the resources come and you see all the pieces, the time, the space, the money, the people, the ideas, they all come together and you see it happening and oh boy, it comes to quite a nice fruition. And wrap it in light. Yeah, be really proud of yourself. Oh, I don't want to push it aside yet. We want to know that when you want to sustain your project, keep it going. You don't want it to be blunted. You want to keep it going. and have it be nurtured, tended, enjoyed, cared for. Wrap it in light. When you see all of that happening, you see the resources coming, and you see the resources there to sustain it, you wrap it in light, move it to the side. Practicing being Santa Claus. And now we're going to bring in the Galactic Healing Center. You and I have realms and realms of support, wonderful team of beloved beings who are terrific at healing. And we're going to choose those ones that want to step around our healing table. Good, there they are. And now we're going to put ourselves, you're the first person to come in and lie on the healing table, and I'm the first person to come into my Galactic Healing Center and lie. And Bob, you're the first one in yours. Lie on the table, and you might know what you want healed, but maybe you don't, and they'll tell you. And you can feel it, can't you? And they just get to work on you. That's really interesting. Okay. I'm getting some information about myself, which is kind of personal, so I'm not going to repeat it, but quite often when we do this kind of exercise, you get some pointers that you might not have recognized in yourself, so jot those down. Excellent. And when you really feel the energy moving through your body, wrap that in light, move it over to the side. And now we've got another healing table coming in. And we have here, coming in, and we have this wonderful woman. She's tall, she's beautiful, and she's got a funny thing on her neck. It's just over the thyroid. I think it's some sort of infection, but we're not going to try to diagnose her today. But she's been feeling exhausted. There's a lot of pain. And because she was supposed to have surgery on it, and because she developed the flu, she didn't get her operation today, and now they're putting it off for a month and a half, and it's causing more and more pain. So I thought, okay, here's a wonderful opportunity to help her out and see if she notices. Yeah, she's very beloved. And we're going to ask for, we've got a wonderful healing team. Let's call in. Okay. We're going to call in some of her, some of the healing team's realms and realms of beings behind them. Yeah, the ones, different dimensions, different levels. Now, here's somebody coming in. Oh, my goodness. They have this kind of a laser light. There's somebody coming in. It looks like a scalpel, but it's a laser light scalpel. Does that make sense? Of course, we're in the magic world. We can have anything we want. And they're moving it through her neck. They're parting the field. Good. That's interesting to me because they're pulling it out and they're saying it relates to part of her brain. Mm-hmm. So they're pulling this out of her neck, but it's interesting because right up the back of her brain, slightly on the curvature of the right side of the corpus callosum, then right up into the top, they're pulling something out. As if it's an old flow that's kind of toxic, and they're pulling it out inch by inch, gently. Okay. Good, and they're pulling it out. And it's really interesting because they're working with her, and they're saying it has a lot to do with grief. Now, this is a young woman. She's 41. I consider that young because I'm 100, as you remember. and they're saying that she is young and vital, but she has tremendous grief from other lifetimes. This is a woman who's going to become quite strong, intuitive in time. And she has some bitterness about other intuitive lifetimes that she's had. We don't need to go into all that, but they're saying the bitterness is creating a lot of the problem. And as we say that, her knees hurt. I don't know if she's listening to this, but I'm sure going to call her and work on her later. We can't let her have all that stuff. It's just, remember, our bodies are like file folders, but they're like filing cabinets, really. There's so much in them. So as we pull out the grief, the fear hits the knees, and that's really tremendous. So we're just going to run some, they're moving some pretty intense light through her. And they're pulling out the grief and the vulnerability that she really resists very hard. Good. Yeah. Okay, now wrap that in light. Now we're going to see who's coming in next. Now we've got a young man here. So this is a young man, and he's got, he's like not that young, he's in his 30s. He has a lot of physical and a lot of emotional restrictions going on. And they're showing some terrific, remember we talked at the beginning about the brain? They're showing some terrific old programs in his brain. And one of the things I really love is the Diksha, where you, on the Oneness Blessings, where you put your hands on somebody's head, and they literally, oh, can you hang on just till I finish this? I'd love to talk to you. They put their hands on each other's heads and pass a higher frequency transmission to it. And when you do that on a regular basis, and sometimes it takes a number of these, and this isn't the only way to do this, but in any case, what happens is it seems to iron out some of the etched-in programs, because this young man has got all kinds of interesting etched-in programs, and they're putting their hands on his head. And all the way along his spine, I don't know if their hands are etheric, and they're moving all along his spine. He also has tremendous scars in the bones of one of his legs. And they're sorting a lot of that out, but they say that his brain pattern from other lives, there you go, has been conflicting and afflicting him. Kind of blocking the flow of his amazing creativity and difficult for him. And now they're pulling out tremendous grief in his life as well. You know what, we're going to do an extra thing here, which is to call in some of his ancestral, let's call in some of his, instead of just his teams, the ancestral teams that go back through time as well. We're calling in ones that are really relevant to this particular situation. And there's a kind of a much more rich layer after layer of beings around this man. And now as we do, we call them in, and they mingle with the healing team. And we ask them to call forth, or to ask themselves, to be released from their own attachment to the situation that keeps going through the lineage. We're asking them to look up and ask to be released from their attachment. And see what happens. Because some of them are literally pulling back, and as they do, things lighten up around him. And the healing team is doing some very interesting energy work across his body. I don't know who you're working with as we do this, but I know there's a lot of energy and a lot of impact going on. Now we're going to wrap that in light, and I know we have a waiting caller, but I'm just going to finish this. Let's take a look at, it's really interesting because the whole shift is supposedly tonight, and I don't know if it's going to be as dramatic as in a moment, you know, but they're having the great debate in Congress about the fiscal cliff and taxing the people that have a lot of money and so on. And I go, well, that's sort of fitting because I understand. So let's bring in that whole political situation and have it sit on a table. Because what I understand, from what I think I understand about the shift, is it's all about bringing love up higher in our sense of value. Instead of get or be gotten and all that primitive survival stuff, or I get the most money so you're not as important kind of thing. We need to bring the values to a different level on our planet. We need to really appreciate all that exists. We need to be in the presence of all that exists and have it move through us. We need to love ourselves and one another. But it's not that way. So here they're having this ultimate kind of battle debate over money. I'll be with you in just a moment. But I think it's kind of interesting that it's the night before, just before this whole shift goes on. I go, golly, I hope that this money issue will infuse itself differently. I think that it might infuse all the people and the thing that happened in Newtown, and everything should be infused with our love of one another and appreciation of the experience of life and its creative energy. So let's call in the guides and angels. Let's call in source energy. Let's call in the presence, which is always with us. And let's move that consciousness through all the beings who are in charge of, oh, I don't know, that debate as an example of how we can choose a different sense of evaluation in our lives. So let's just see the light moving up through all the beings involved in, say, the American government, all the beings involved in this great debate, and just surge high-frequency energy through each one of them. Good. That feels really good. And through the heart, can you feel your heart going, ah? Yeah, soothe your heart. Good. Now let's call in more and more of this high-frequency, golden, harmonizing energy and have it come down through the top of your head, down into your heart, whirling and whirling in your heart, out your arms and your hands, and have yourself pat that beautiful energy all over our planet, anywhere that there's misery, poverty, misunderstanding, egregious demand that costs other people, you know, a sense of confusion about our food, about our water, about our animals, about the weather, about one another. Just keep patting it all with golden light and know that we can shift into a higher frequency being. Yes, and the shift is often by choice. We can resist against it or we can move for it. And have that light move round and round and round and round our planet, round and round the planet till the planet is just sparkling gold and shimmering. And that light comes back into our arms, our hands and upper arms, and circles round and round in the heart, up through the neck, consciousness itself, and up through the head, zoop, way out into the great central sun. And that comes back down through you and whirls through you. Now we turn around and close off the Galactic Healing Center, hop into your star tetrahedron, and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin and thank you for being on the phone while I come jumping out of our Merkaba. You are on the air, and then I'll give the numbers after our first caller tells us who you are and what you're doing tonight.
Oh, Veronica, hi. My name is Danny. I am just chilling out. I have a very crazy busy day, so I'm actually just been watching some TV, watched the finale of The X Factor, actually, before I called you, so it's been kind of a relaxing evening. Yes.
And your name is Danny?
I don't know if you watched the show. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and where are you, Danny?
Savannah, Georgia.
Welcome to the West Coast.
Well, thank you. Okay, yeah, it was, and, I had told the gentleman who I spoke with, can I go ahead and ask my question?
Please, go ahead.
Okay, well, I had a friend who died about over a year ago. First name was Zach, and mm-hmm. he was a very free spirit, and he was a very spiritual person, and mm-hmm. when he died, I always just wanted him to, you know, if he's okay, if he had anything he wanted to say to me. Mm-hmm. And I was just wanted to maybe take the opportunity to see if you pick up on anything or anything you can let me know in regards to that.
Yes, I sure do. And before you said he was spiritual, I wanted to say he has the most wonderfully spiritual heart. And he went off, Danny, he went off to seek, he's learning a lot, seek higher wisdom. And he immediately turned around to talk, because they can sort of tell it's like a phone ring when we're talking like this. And he can tell that you want to speak with him. And he's very, he's very pleased and happy, not what you call content, because he's learning and growing, and he has a kind of zest for that. So it's not like a contentment. And he sees you, you're doing something new, and he did you live with him or something? Were you very close?
Yes.
Yeah. He sees you, and he wants you to be free and open, because he's learning so much, and he sees you, I guess you're still in grief, because he sees you stopping yourself, and his eyes got so rich and so dark and so loving, and he wants you to open and expand, and he's wanting to teach you. Did you know he wants to teach you from where he is? You're very spiritual man, but you're not as you weren't as zesty about it as he was, I believe. Is that right?
Can you say that again? I'm sorry.
Okay, he was more earnest about being spiritual than you were, if I could be so bold as to say.
I would say that he was probably I think I'm spiritual too, but in a different way. And I'm more contemporary to spiritual, and he was more. He followed his own path all throughout the last. I knew him so.
Well, I think he's encouraging you to get connected to a new person, and the connection is with somebody who's spiritual in a very similar way to what he is. And not that that's
okay.
Right, it's just that that harmonizes with an aspect of your nature, which you're a little bit lost about all that right now. And he's saying that he's nudging you. He talks to you, you know. Do you ever experience him talking to you?
I've never heard him. I mean, I've often wondered, but I never heard him. If he's communicating, I was just going to ask you, what does he have to say in regards to Jerry?
What he says that he says that Jerry is a good person, but he's got a kind of I hate to say this on global radio, but here we are. He's got kind of a jealous part to him. He's got an emotional containment. He's holding tight to himself, and you can help him a lot, but he can't really help you a lot. Do you understand?
What you're saying is making sense.
And that doesn't mean you don't want to see people. It means that you don't. Some people activate us and make us grow. You know, Jerry can't really do that yet, because he needs that help himself. Do you understand?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Actually, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but honey, he's kind. Go ahead. You know, you can talk now. But he's kind, man. I'm not trying to. Trash him or anything, you know.
Okay, that's fine. And honestly, that makes sense with what I know about Jerry. That's fine. The only other thing I would ask, what does he have to say in regard to the new job situation, and where does he think maybe I should go?
Are you leaving your job?
Possibly.
Well, there's a job coming up. Oh, you have to make some decisions. First of all, you have to make the decision from inside of yourself for what you want to do, because he said that there's a couple of job possibilities coming up, and what's going to make the biggest, and he's laughing, he says, what's going to make the shift in you is when you know more about what you want, because you've got two possibilities coming up, and one of them is not going to suit you as well as the other. Because you're going to do it because you think it's a good deal, not because it's what you want to be and do. You understand? And one of them is going to...
Can he say what? Yeah.
Well, one of them is going to require a bit of a move.
Possibilities.
One's going to require a move. I don't know what they are, and I don't have time for that because there's somebody else waiting. But one of them is going to require a move, and you've already heard of at least the first one.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay. That does make sense. Actually,
I believe it
makes a lot of sense.
Good. I think the second one is the one that you're going to find. Well, you have to be the one who goes inside your own heart and decide, hey, I want to do this and this rather than this. I want to work more with people. I want a little more creativity. Besides, a little more money. And you have to know in your own heart. Otherwise, you'll get impressed by the gloss of one that doesn't have the depth that you need for your own heart. And you'll know.
Right. Well,
talk it and feel it.
Right.
But I have to say goodbye to that. Pardon me?
Okay. I said, I'm glad Zach's happy, but I'll let you go. I know you got other things to do, but I appreciate it. Thank you, Veronica. You have a good evening.
He is with you sometimes, so see if you can feel that. Good night, and have a great shift yourself.
All right, good night,
Danny. Good night, Danny. Well, that's interesting. His friend is smiling at us all right now, kind of enjoying himself, so it's a wonderful visit. I feel like he's a wonderful being. So we have another caller waiting online patiently, I think, eh?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, my name's Carol. I was on last week. And,
hi, Carol.
I'm the
how
one
you
with...
doing?
I'm just in a lot of pain.
Okay. Did we do anything with the pain? You had the musculature pain and the bone?
Yeah, you picked up on a being in my lineage that had agreed to help me.
Okay, and what's happening? I'm just trying to drop into your... So have you had any experience this week that was helpful?
Well, I can tell there's been somewhat of a shift. You know, I am feeling the difference, but I am also still in an awful lot of pain, and I'm just wondering...
Okay. I'm asking for greater help from your ancestral links here. What is it she's... What is Carol learning from all this pain? Come on.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
Is your spine kind of bent? Are you kind of feeling your body's a little out of shape here?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. It won't hold its, alignment at all.
Okay, just a sec here. We're asking, you're going to love this, Carol. We're asking for, and this may take time, so we just start the process, and then hopefully you'll phone us or email or something over the next week or two. But they're showing, I'm asking for some more medical assistance and for some more ancestral assistance. The being that came in has got a really good connection with you and what caused the problem in the lineage. But there's, funny, your gastrointestinal is really bad, is it?
Yes.
Made me burp, thank you very much.
I said everything seems, actually.
Well, you know what's funny, because she's showing, and there's two men behind who are even, it was a woman that we had last week, wasn't it? Because I'm getting two men and a woman now.
Well, last week you said it was a man, and his name was, like, Daniel, and he had abused me, and now he had wanted to help me.
Okay, so Daniel is there, but there are two other people. There's a woman who I believe, I'm asking who she is, because I see two men, and there's a woman who's probably not very far back. Daniel was a couple of hundred years back, wasn't he? Because there's a woman that's in the same sense, or in the 1900s, and she also was carrying that, I can't quite tell what she is. She's not just directly a relative. Well, she's a relative, but she's not like a mother or grandmother. She's sort of like a relative that's, it's like what's coming down the lineage isn't coming down just directly through every generation. You see what I mean? It's coming through an aunt here and a cousin there and a this and that. And she is very, very grief-struck and is wanting to connect with you as well. Do you feel a lot of grief in your world?
Yes.
Because I feel this, that there's something about the gastrointestinal, and you know that the belly area houses subconscious karma, old lineage, and all that. And when I look at...
No, I do not.
It does. And your body is like a huge filing cabinet. And it's really interesting how, like, the bones are structured. Obviously, the musculature is how it holds it together. Very often when people have had tremendous abuse, which you did from that gentleman who wants to help, and he's bringing in another guy who I think abused him, and they're wanting to help you, and my body is just buzzing like mad right now. But you have to understand that in abuse, in a really intense abuse, people often have really terrible musculature. And because the structure, there's nothing safe in on a deep subconscious level, and you have a lot of that going on. And they're saying that your subconscious, your belly area, it's very difficult for you to absolutely digest the foods that it would take to rebuild your system. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So what we're asking them to do is to pull out of the subconscious for both this woman, who I think is a kind of a relative but not direct, the one I talked about, who was probably from 1920s or something like that. She's telling me that there's tremendous grief in the lineage. You have it as well. And in that grief, most people's grief, you see, in your feet get weird, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yes. I'm glad you're calling in, if you don't mind waiting just a few minutes till we finish with Carol. Thank you. This is a new level of what you're talking. You did do some work last time. So anyway, they're saying the gastrointestinal is really slow because of a recording of some very deep grief that has been shooting through your entire lineage. Even the people that don't have your specific physical difficulty. And this fellow, whose name is something like, it is like sort of like Daniel, but I don't know if that's quite right. But in any case, he's bringing in he's got somebody beyond him, older than him, who's helping as well. And I think he's in the medical profession. So anyway, they're coming around to help you, and she's wanting to help and say to bring out the grief is very, very important. So we want you to work with grief. Grief is a funny thing that stops us in our tracks very often. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It stops us in our tracks while we transform or we recreate what we believe in. And a lot of people, like, do you have congested lungs sometimes?
Yes, often, I think I do, yes.
Yeah, because oftentimes grief is held in the lungs, but in your case, I want to say it's mostly in the belly and the solar plexus. It's like it's really hard for you to digest things, right?
Yeah, it's very painful there constantly.
Yes. And they're saying it's that because if you look at it simplistically, you go, okay, digestion. I have a really hard time digesting it because I'm already, as a tiny baby, full of grief. And grief doesn't usually let you just digest things. It's like part of you is on pause. There's a degree of holding when people are in extreme grief. You see what I mean? Now, that makes your legs hurt. Did you feel that? It made your legs hurt when we were talking about that.
Yes. My legs hurt constantly.
Yeah, and it builds up. Your gastrointestinal is slow, and then when it builds up, your legs will hurt, and then there's no sense of understanding. So the guides are saying this. We're going to see if we can get some of it. But you know, this short little period of time on the radio, I'm not sure we can do all of this. But your beings, talk to him and talk to the lady from the 20s. Because she has a lot of the same embodiment, and she wants very much to unhook. Try to remember this. If you're sitting in your meditation and ask your higher guidance and say, I want to feel the presence of my ancestral links, and get them to ask for release as well. But I think we'll call him Daniel for now, and this woman and his father or his uncle, father, or something are going to help you. They're working on it. But it's really like unraveling a huge puzzle. I'm going to give you some, we're going to just run some energy here, and then I have to say goodbye because we have another caller. But you can always email me, Carol.
Yeah, I can't get on the internet. I'm in too much pain to get on the internet. So.
Oh, are you? Well, I'm really glad you called in, and I wish I could do more, but I haven't got the time. But call if you feel like
fine.
It.
So if I could get on the internet or have somebody get in contact with you, I mean, do you give private consultations? Or?
Oh, I sure do. Yes, I sure do.
Mm-hmm.
It's veronicaentwistle.com is my site.
Oh.
All right?
No phone number.
Yes, there'll be a phone number, but it's on the website.
Okay, very good.
All right, honey. Thank you very much. Hey, happy shift.
Yeah, thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, honey.
Bye.
So that's a really interesting call, because like all of us, we are interacting with our lineage on so many levels. She's got it on a cellular level, and she's going to get some big clearings coming up because she's got ancestral help. Now let's clear that out, and let's talk to the next caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Veronica, it's Jaya.
Hi, Jaya. How are you this evening?
I'm good. And I want to ask about the children and the teachers that died in Connecticut and whether they had a contract of some sort to be part of this scenario. I do believe that we have contracts to come in and go out.
Well, you know what I think? I think from what I've seen and from what my guides are saying, they did. And that's not that we're being heartless, everybody. This is something to understand. And they did. And their, we'll call it sacrifice, has been a tremendous, in a way, gift for this country, because people are thinking differently. It is changing a lot of people's mind about the violence that's been so glibly marketed in our culture. It's really causing a change, you know? So it's really been a change agent, hasn't it?
That's my sense of it. I believe that things like this aren't really accidents.
You know, right after it happened, there was a young girl who had been shot, and she kept coming to me, and she was very powerful. She's a powerful spirit, but she was one of the little girls that was killed. And she kept saying, I need to tell my father. I'm okay. Help me tell my father. Well, I had no way of knowing who exactly she was. I'm not always able to catch names for some reason. But anyway, all of a sudden, we heard Emily's story, and it was Emily. Emily is the strong little girl whose father was interviewed so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, that's the little girl. But what she looked to me soon after the whole terrible event, that she was really powerful and really, like, in charge. She didn't look lost at all. She said, he needs to know I'm okay. He needs to know it's all fine. And
Interesting.
And of course it's a bit discombobulating for somebody like me, because I wasn't quite sure how to make use of the information, but it's okay because it got out, you know.
And can you say anything about the young man who did the killing?
Yes, he was a very, very... we were talking about the brain. His brain had a really incredible kind of a damage to it. And I want to say that it was as if he knew all along he wasn't meant. So he had a contract to do this as well. Or he had a contract to get out of here. But his brain, I want to say he was really, really dark. But on the other hand, It's more like his brain has been afflicted, so he wouldn't feel the compassion it would take to not do that. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
His brain was a mess. His mother confuses me. I'm not really sure about her. She confuses me a little here. She has a lot of, it's interesting, she has a lot of harmonizing energy in her, which is kind of contradictory, isn't it?
The mother?
Yeah.
I think she had just taken on something that was completely overwhelming.
Yeah, I think so too. Bob just told me she lived on Yogananda Avenue. Is that interesting or what? Because it's interesting. I look at her and I go, okay, she had a contract. It all sounds so simple. However, she has this really powerful, harmonizing light in her as a spirit. I'm like, wow. So she really did. We could construct it this way. Is that she had this son who was distorted enough to perpetrate this, and that was all a setup to create an awakening for a lot of people in our country.
Yeah.
I'm not glib enough in my heart to totally 100% make peace with that, but still, that's how it looks right now.
And does it look like it was a soul group, the 26 people who died?
Yes. Yes.
They had all contracted this event.
Yeah, and none of them, well, they don't look miserable. You know how quite often when people pass, they can be lost for a while? They don't look lost.
Uh-huh.
I have to say that when 9/11 happened, I remember looking up and seeing many, many beings that were in the towers walking, all dressed up, and they were walking in a kind of a procession, and I went, oh my gosh, they all knew they were going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they showed themselves dressed up. Well, you know, spirits don't really wear duds, but they were all dressed and ready to go. These kids all look fine. They're grieving a lot for their folks because their folks are so devastated.
Yeah.
You know, it's been very hard for them, and it continues to be. But I think it might be a very valuable experience in terms of the shift, if you look at it that way. You know how humanity has to make a shift, or, you know, we're in big trouble, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, thank you for your call. I guess I have to sign off, don't I? What are you going to do tonight, Jaya? Are you going to be meditating in the middle of the night?
No, I'm going to sleep.
You're good at sleep.
I heard an interesting thing that Saturday at 3:11 p.m. is actually the turning point because the sun basically stands still for 3 days. So Saturday at 3:11 p.m.
Oh, wonderful.
Is the big moment when it turns.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you. And Bhagavan has said 3 in the morning tonight, you know, tonight.
Yeah, 3 in the morning is when the sun goes into Capricorn.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So that's what starts the 3 days, huh?
Uh-huh.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll meet you out in the ethers.
Okay.
Thanks for your call. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for calling in. I've enjoyed your conversations. I've enjoyed meeting your spirit beings. I keep thinking of Zach, who makes me smile because he enjoyed being on the radio. Isn't that nice? I mean, one time I saw a friend who had passed over. I said, oh, thanks for coming to talk to me. She said, nobody else will talk to me. You got to, you know, when you're awake for it and you're ready for it, they like to have someone to talk to, don't they? So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, I'm not really sure who's coming up on Tuesday night. I thought it was going to be that it's Christmas night. I think what I might do is rerun my stepdaughter, Jane Entwistle, who's amazing. I might rerun her improv one at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, or I may run one of the oneness beings. I'm not really sure, so we're going to do a surprise Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and I hope a bunch of you are getting some of my podcasts. I've heard from some of you are downloading a bunch of them. That's great. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, thank you so much for tuning in. Tune in again next Thursday at 7 o'clock for Radiance by Design, and by then your radiance will be up and at it, and so will mine, because we're choosing it for the shift. Email me, Veronica@veronicaantwistle.com. Much love, many, many blessings. Good night.